This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ted Crackle joins me live in studio. He is the editor-in-chief of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia, and we're honored to have him with us. Welcome back. It's good to see you.
Thanks very much, Coy. It's great to be back.
Now, let's start by reminding folks about this project, which goes back at UVA. It goes back to the 1960s, right?
That's correct. The project was launched in 1968 at the University of Virginia, and they started with the diaries. And this gave the project an opportunity to get acquainted with all of Washington's life, the diaries they had, so they didn't have to go find them. And while they were working on the diaries, they conducted an extensive search for documents all over the country, all over the world, and ended up finding something in excess of 135,000 documents.
And they're here in Charlottesville. That's amazing.
Copies of those are here.
Yeah, not all the originals.
No,
but
just a few of the originals are the property of the special collections at the university library, but the vast majority are elsewhere, probably nearly half of those at the Library of Congress there in Washington.
Ted, when did he start his diaries? Was he a kid when he started writing? Or
he wrote very sparsely as a young man and began to keep his diaries. I say young man because he began to keep his diaries when he was about 16, seriously.
Yeah.
From that point on, when he truly had become an adult, he was already a surveyor and beginning to earn his own way in life and make his own reputation. And most of the early entries start from about that age.
Is there this real self-reflection like you see in some diaries, or was it written with an eye towards posterity that, hey, I'm going to be somebody one day? And
I don't think it was either. The diary entries are strange in that way. The thing that he faithfully recorded almost every day was the weather. He was a farmer, remember, or became a farmer. And when he was not being a farmer, he was a surveyor or a military man, meaning he was outside and interested in the weather. That he faithfully reported almost every day. He reported what running, riding to the dogs. He knew his dogs by name. And I remember one diary entry much later in life. He met one of his neighbors to whom he had sold one of his dogs. And the dog was in the pack, and he named it in his diary. I saw what her name, Rosie, or whatever her name was.
Out of a whole slew of hunting dogs,
He recognized his dog.
Wow.
And he knew it. He loved his dogs. He loved his horses.
Yeah. We're talking with Ted Crackle. He's the editor-in-chief and the director of the Papers of George Washington, a historic project here at the University of Virginia. We're honored to have him live in studio. 135,000 documents, copies, or mostly copies, but some originals.
All copies, as far as we're concerned, all copies.
Right.
The originals that are in the special collections and safely put away, we have copies of those. We don't really want originals because it means that they have to be protected in ways that we don't have to protect copies.
Right. And copies, you as a researcher and a historian, it's much easier to work with a copy.
Yes, it is. You don't worry about spilling a cup of coffee on a copy. We can always get another copy.
I'm curious, are there any dream finds out there left to discover? I mean, if there is this letter out there that has yet to turn up, and there must be some somewhere, but is there anything like from a period of his life or a specific incident that you would love personally to see a letter about?
I think the things that we'd probably most like to see letters about would be letters from Washington to his wife Martha, or letters from Martha to George. She destroyed, and I think with his blessing, shortly after his death, she destroyed all of the correspondence between them, except for two letters which escaped her. She'd had them in a drawer, and these two letters fell behind the drawer, and later, many years later, a niece discovered them And wow. They are the only two letters from George to Martha that we have. And
so
none
very,
from Martha to him.
Very different then from the John and Abigail, what
oh, exactly.
we have from that relationship.
Exactly. The wonderful correspondence between John and Abigail Adams is a marvel and is so revealing. And though I don't think we would see the same thing between George and Martha, Martha was not nearly as interested in politics as Abigail was. But it would still be a wonderful thing because it would tell us about a side of both George and Martha that we know very little about.
Yeah. Now, I've asked you this before, but I'm curious. What is it you think most people who we haven't done the level of research that you and your team at the Papers of George Washington at UVA do every day when you look at the life and the career of George Washington? What is it you think most of us don't know about him or don't understand about him?
I think part of it is we don't have even scholars don't have a terribly good understanding of why George came out the way he did. Why was he such a great man? And there are a lot of theories about it, and a lot of leadership theories that are proposed and tested against George. But it almost certainly must have stemmed from something in his youth, the way he grew up, his father's influence, his brother's influence after his father's death, all of these things about which we know very little and about which Washington said and wrote very little.
Just this innate leadership. I mean, would you say he was a born leader? Because I certainly wouldn't say that about Jefferson. But would you say that Washington was, in fact, just one of those people who was it came easy to him?
It did seem to come easy to him. This is something that I suspect he got from his father and his older brother, Lawrence in particular. They were both leaders in their own right, and George's father was a strong leader, and I suspect that in watching his father,
he had those models, yeah,
those models, his father and his brother, I think were probably very important in his life. But again, it's something that we don't know very much about, and it's sad because we wish that when he had written and had the opportunity even to. When Humphreys wrote his life of Washington and Washington looked at it and read it, he added a few notes about the early years, but very few. And I almost dealt with it in one sentence practically. Yeah. And he'd had the opportunity there to give us some good insight. He didn't take it.
Yeah. We're talking with Ted Crackle. He's the editor-in-chief and the director of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia. You can learn more online, a fantastic website. It's gwpapers.virginia.edu. So, Ted, tell us about this new, exciting project at the Papers where you're looking at the financial records of George Washington.
Yes. We've known these records existed for a very long time, and for a number of years, ever since I got there for sure and before, we had been fussing about how do we treat these documents in a way that they will be most usable and most useful to scholars and to people who might want to consult Washington. And we finally gotten started with that with a conference at Mount Vernon last October. We had about two dozen scholars from a number of different fields in history and from anthropology and accounting and accounting history. I didn't even know there was accounting history. There are actually two journals
Never
of accounting
heard of
history. And we had a wonderful group representing all of those different fields of history and accounting history. And we called them all together to talk about, show them a little about what we had and talk to them about how we should organize these, how we should put them up online, because that's what we want to do with them, not publishing them in a book, but put them up online where people can pull out the pieces that they need and want to look at and examine them. There are almost 1,000 known financial documents.
Wow. Gosh.
Probably 100,000 pages of documentation and in the millions of various transactions. He started his accounts. Actually, there's an account book that goes back to 1747 when he was just 15 years old. His first accounts are in there. And his first records of a thing, were three books that he bought. He recorded two of them in one entry and another one in the same entry, all on the 10th of September of 1747. And they were all books. And the first two were not described. The second or the third book was a brief life of the Duke of throw it away. I've been talking about this and thinking about it so long, you're not going to be able to say it. A Duke of Schomberg from England, or was an English English soldier and hero, but it also fought across Europe. And after which it possibly may have patterned his life. But also, I suspect one of the first two books that he got was a book that taught him how to do the accounting that he did. Because immediately after buying them, he starts opening his accounts.
Wow. Guys, we're talking with Ted Crackle of the Papers of George Washington. That must be so overwhelming. I mean, where do you start with, you know, tens of thousands of records, of account records of, I bought this on this date, it cost this much, and I spent this much. That's amazing. And you're right. What a treasure trove for historians.
Well, it is. And it's probably Washington's enterprises, in effect, were very extensive. He was a farmer, first and foremost, but he also owned Western lands. He invested in development projects, opening up the West. He invested in land otherwise, but he had a grist mill. Late in life, next to the grist mill, they built a distillery, whereby by its second year was producing probably more whiskey than any other distillery in America at the time.
Wow!
And he was a great entrepreneur too. So these records will tell us a lot about that. The other thing about financial records that I think are going to be very interesting to us is that Washington was very guarded in his correspondence with most people. He didn't reveal very much about himself, and he didn't like to reveal much about himself. But the accounting records have to tell it all. He can't deny what he buys. He never realized that at some point in time, historians might be interested in these account books. It is something he fussed a lot about his letters and correspondence and papers, but about his accounts, he didn't give, I think, a second thought to it. So he lets
his guard down to historians there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to find when we get into these, is that once we understand what these entries mean and can lay them out in literally in layman's terms, we will be able to look at George in a very different way and in a much more revealing way. I mean, it's not going to remarkably change our interpretation of it, but it's going to open up a piece of his life to our inspection and our understanding in ways that his correspondence just never does.
It's very exciting. We're talking with Ted Crackle. He's the editor-in-chief and the director of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia. You can learn more online at gwpapers.virginia.edu. How do you think, based on what you've seen of these records, how does he compare to Jefferson, who, of course, who's known to us now as being pretty bad with his money? I mean, you know, talk about a guy who lived on credit cards and died terribly in debt.
Yes.
Did Washington die terribly in debt?
No, Washington didn't die in debt. Washington had money. He wasn't a wealthy man. He was a wealthy man in many respects. Of course, like all farmers and plantation owners, much of his wealth was wrapped up in land and in slaves. And of course, at his death, he freed the slaves that he owned. Now, Martha owned a number of other slaves, most of whom she later freed, but she died just a few years later. So much of his wealth was wrapped up there and not in cash. There were always cash problems, and like all farmers, he needed credit.
Yeah. Well, he sounds like he had, unlike Jefferson, had something of the Midas touch when it came to money, that he could get involved in a project and it would do well. And Jefferson, in many respects, it was just the opposite.
Well, he did. He was, I think, very wise in the way in the projects he chose to take on. The distillery, for example, he had hired a Scottish farm manager. And this Scotsman who had come over and was used to drinking good malt whiskey wanted to start a distillery. So he allowed him to start a very small one to sort of as a test model to see how it would work. Apparently, the whiskey satisfied Washington. He came to believe that his bar manager, in fact, could be a distiller. And so they built a big distillery. But he was careful about what he got himself into. Sometimes his western lands, for example, he bought a lot of them, and some of it was very good land. But there were great difficulties in selling it for what he thought it was worth, in collecting the rents that people should have paid him and owed him on that land. It was always a sore point, and I think in the end he ended up still with that land when he died, and with little to show in way of profit from it.
Interesting. Now, these records, Ted, is there a certain amount of real deciphering that needs to go on, or that are they like hieroglyphs? Is there a challenge there in figuring out what these marks mean?
I think the real challenge for me is simply to understand what accountants mean when they use certain terms. I think Washington, the handwriting is generally very clear. The accounts books in particular are very good because they've been copied over from a day book in which he'd carry a pocket day book around with him in which he recorded every transaction he engaged in.
Wow.
And all of those go in his, if he had his shirts laundered, he put it down. If he bought a pen, or a, some ink, he put it down. It's all there.
Wow.
Is why I think we're going to see a side of Washington that we don't normally think about.
Yeah, and that's very exciting. Now, Jefferson did much of the same thing, especially when it came to his farm and garden books.
Yes.
Was this just, you know, the gentleman of the Enlightenment? It was all about record keeping and observation? And
well,
was
I think
this just something you did? Or
the record keeping, yes, I think it was. And both Washington and Jefferson were great scientists in terms of agriculture. They loved to experiment. But I think the difference between the two men was that Washington experimented because he wanted to turn a profit from his farm. And I think Jefferson experimented as much from the love of experimenting as he did from the love of making a profit. He'd been happy to make a profit, but
right.
If it stood in the way of his experiment, I think he wouldn't be quite as bothered by it.
Ted Crackle, he's the editor-in-chief of the Papers of George Washington at the University of Virginia, embarking on an exciting new project to digitize and put online the complete financial records of George Washington. Ted, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Guy. It's good to be here anytime.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.